Dr. Clendenning, we're back on Disruption, the home away from home. How are you doing today?
Awesome. Thank you, Doc. There, Mr. The, I don't know, there's a lot of different things we can call you. We'll call you the Michael Liberci today.
You can call me Dr. Liberci. That's fine.
I'll call you doctor. Yeah, why not?
Dr. BS or Dr. O. So I want to talk about how to find your extra gear today. And, you know, obviously we always have a topic of interest on this show, right? We can talk about anything in the world, right? But we like to help people. I like to bring things up that are disruptive in nature and without being too polarizing, right? We like this show. We can keep our craziness. For this show, we want everybody to enjoy. If you want to get a little deeper into the world that we live in, great, come on in, right? Find us on total-disruption.com, message us on socials, check us out, right? We, you know, there's many layers to these two people you're talking to here. But so how to find your extra gear. And it's a life out there of increased demand, increased stress, increased guilt, increased mental pressure. Everyone wants to do everything. People are living on comparing themselves to other people. They're tired, they're burnt, they're beat, they're sore, they're emotionally spent, or they're elated. Even if you're having a good time, how do you find your extra gear? I can tell you without a doubt, I am one of the world's most experienced authoritative figures in how to find an extra gear. It'll be hard pressed to find somebody else that's got information that is any better than mine in terms of how to find the extra gear. So when I tell you, or we're talking about how to find your extra gear, you were just talking about finding your extra gear, man. You're a one man hammer shop over there. I mean, I'm sure you have some help, low qualified help in the department.
I don't want to call my wife low qualified help. That'll get me in trouble. But she's an excellent construction laborer when she's around.
In the gap, there you go. If she's around, right? And you're essentially building a house by yourself, right? And you know, you're trying to find your extra gear. When I say that extra gear, what's your extra gear, right? What does that even mean?
Well, that's a great question. This is where Mike's going to coach on me some today, for sure. And Mike coaches me a lot, but yeah, extra gear on this one of where I am. There's a lot going on, right? And there's a lot of things that are tied into this. Yes, I have a unbelievably demanding physical project currently going on, which is just wrecking me physically. Like I've run marathons. I know what the wall is, and I'm hitting the wall every single day that I'm smashing up against this thing. And it's just whatever the case may be, I'm pushing through the best that I can until there's a point to where I start making some simple but kind of like could have impacts, mental issues. I'll inch myself on a measurement. Everybody that's ever been a framer knows what inching yourself is all about. Or I'll miss a grade line, or something will happen that I'm going to have to get out the sawzall or the chainsaw or a jackhammer, and I'm going to have to back up because you can't keep plowing forward, or it's going to get bigger. It's going to be a 5-inch thing by the time you're done. So when I'm trying to shut it down before I hit those spots, but there's times in the day. A couple days ago, I hit that at like 10 o'clock in the morning. Of course, you know, I was out since 6, but I hit it early. So it's a matter of reset. And there's part of the physical piece, and I'm telling a long story in here so you guys get some context. There's some mental pieces in here as we build out a new product to take to market. There's business things rolling around in my head. There are construction budgets. There's day-to-day living budgets. There's family things going on. There's the physical aspect of this. There's the, I only have 16 hours of awake time during the day. It should probably be like 14. I should probably be sleeping like 10. With currently what I've got on my plate, but how I can be as purposeful as possible and still rest and recover. That's a huge piece. Hydration is a major piece for, like, it's become a massive piece for me this year, which I've discovered. I told Mike earlier, I'm back on an ibuprofen diet, and I haven't been on that since like 2008, to where I'm taking the probably above recommended daily amount so that I can sleep. it just hurts. So like, where do I find that extra gear? You know, right now I feel like I'm crushing it along in third. You know, overall, if I got a 5-speed, you know, we'll go back to drag cars. I feel like I'm just high revving in third gear all the time. It'd be nice to shift down, get into fourth and even fifth gear to where I'm a little bit cruising, to where it's just, you know, we're getting better gas mileage, things are shit. But right now I'm just high rev in everything that I'm doing, and I got to figure out where the clutch is, man. So that's where I want to, that there's the example I will give everybody. This is 100% not made up. This is where I am in my life today of where it is. I've got roofing to do. I've got floors to do. I got concrete to pour. I got, you know, mountains of lumber to move. Yes, I have equipment and I have machines, but dirt to move. It's all work. It's all physical, heavy, heavy labor to get it done within the building season. So it's not just take your time and get it done when you get it done. I don't have that. I do not physically have the time. I have to accomplish what I need to accomplish in that time. So I've got to find another smoother gear, not just more rev. I've got to find another smoother gear. So, all right, there's the big unpack, Mike. Well, there's the thing. Hit me.
You hit the nail on the head, and you said it before I did. It was going to come out anyway. So, you know, smooth is fast. Fast is smooth. And if high gear doesn't mean extra gear. Extra gear means, how do I sustain this for the long haul? And oftentimes you're having that crazy dialogue where you think you need to go really fast, which is prudent because you need to be really efficient. There's a difference. Speed and efficiency are two totally different things. You can be fast and you can rev and you can go fast. But what's going to happen is you're going to start making those bad decisions, right? I'll give you an analogy. When I used to work, my savviness in my service business was, when I was servicing fitness and therapy clients, I divided my business into three different factions: executives, independently wealthy house people, like housewives or retired or independently wealthy people, and then the crazy night owls. So what I did was I was able to service three sections of the population from 6 or 7 a.m. until almost midnight. And what I started to do was I started to realize you need to have a mindset where you're constantly reframing every 7 to 8 hours. So in my head, I had at 6 a.m., I had a 2 p.m. target. At 2 p.m., I had a 6 p.m. target. At 6 p.m., I had a 9:30 to 10 o'clock p.m. target. And I kept putting my visual self in those frames, and I did a frame forward. Did I go faster? No. What I did was I saw what I was doing. I felt how hungry I would be. I felt how tired I was going to be. And what that started to psychologically do is it started to modulate my gas pedal. So I wasn't over motivational. I wasn't over revving my brain. I wasn't over demonstrating movements, so I could sustain it. And then at the end, I started picturing around that 6 p.m. mark, I started also looking towards the next day. And the next day, and the next day. And what that started to do was it framed my food planning. It framed my hydration. It framed my pace. And it framed my next break. And it got me to where I need to be. And in any problem I ever have, I use that forward framing. And then I catalog my emotions and my physical state. And over time, like you said in our last episode, it's like a muscle. The more you can start to do this, the more you start to understand where you are in pace. Because you could be a 20-year-old man or a 50-year-old man, a 20-year-old woman, a 50-year-old woman, a 20-year-old they, him, she, he, him, who, or a 50-year-old they, hey, him, she, who. Whatever you identify with, you can use this technique. It's not gender specific. It's not title specific either. It has nothing to do with anything else. This technique has gotten me through ailments, illnesses, life-threatening things, and just about everything else. You face what's in front of you, and you look beyond it. And you face what's in front of you, and you look beyond it. And where you are right now is a ton of stuff that you know you have to do, right? I'm gonna say downshift, when you start, upshift later in the day. I'm going to say go slower early so you can go faster later. That's my coaching advice to you. And it's not even slower. Basically, what it's going to be is you're facing your end of your workload day and you're facing your end of your workload week and saying, wait a minute, I want to be able to have sustained output so that I'm not hitting a wall. Because every 2 weeks, every 14 days, the effects of what we're doing to ourselves shows up. It's diet, exercise, everything else, even the ibuprofen diet. Nothing wrong with the ibuprofen diet because you don't live that way anyway. Whatever written damage you're going to do to yourself, it's just going to reset anyway after you're done this project. You're not sustainable. You're not a heavy drinker. You're not a smoker. You don't use drugs. You don't live an unhealthy lifestyle where you're killing yourself. So you're strategically using a tool to help you get through something. To me, that's fine. There's no issue there. As long as it's strategic, and you haven't done it in how many years, you say?
Right. Yeah, literally, last time I was this bad was probably 2008, 2010.
Right. And you're putting yourself up against a strategic artificial deadline that you may need to reset. And that's, in my head, you're not there at resetting a deadline yet. But I think if you start a little slower, and you're going to be able to maintain a little bit better. I know it. And I know you don't have optimal conditions to work in. I know some of this is nature dependent, but that reframe in my mind is going to help you get through that like big time. And then I would probably also increase your calories by 500 calories a day for repair.
You and I talked about that because I had reached out, I don't know, here a couple of weeks ago. I was like, man, I'm not recovering. I'm just not. And it's a little bit of a, you had mentioned that you're like, well, it feels like you might just have a caloric deficiency overall. And it's not just, all right, awesome, I'm going to have three more slices of pizza kind of thing. That's not the right kind of calories. It's a matter of, you got to make sure you're putting the, you know, more dates, more honey, more peanut butter, you know, certain types of protein, certain types of sugars that your body's going to process in a certain way to give you that longer energy to be able to do it. Because, I mean, I'm going to carb load. You know, we used to believe that was true when I played soccer in high school, that you could go out, you know, before a game on Saturday and you'd eat this giant plate of spaghetti Friday night and carb load. Well, great. You had just enough energy to get through a full game, but then you were spent. So it's about putting the right food in there. And that has made a difference as far as the food is concerned. It's an interesting concept you bring up of shifting down in the mornings and not being as productive and letting that play through. It's something I will work on. It is going to be a battle. And I will explain to everybody why it is a battle. I am a morning person. I have seen pretty much every sunrise since I was born. I've seen them all. I don't sleep in. It's one of those I wish I could some days, but man, if it's half hour before sunlight, I'm up. I'm getting up and I'm starting to move. And I am always more productive, always have been more productive first thing in the morning than I am the rest of the day. And I'll go into the sales perspective. When I was doing real estate, I couldn't make sales calls after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Couldn't force myself to make sales calls, do outbound lead gen, just any of that stuff. And even doing showings was difficult. Like I was just running out of go juice by that time of the day. I just didn't have the mental tolerance, mental capacity to do it. So I grind hard first thing in the morning all the time because I usually will get what most people get done in 8 hours. I will usually get done. I'm going to get calls. Go ahead, put it in the thing. All right, you're wrong. But where a lot of people, I won't say most people, a lot of people, their 8 hour day, I will get done in the first 3 to 4 hours of my day. Because of that high rev, because of where I go. That's been how I function. Now, I think it's great advice. I think it's great advice. And I have to rethink outside of weather. I have to rethink how I'm going to do that. But that means I can't just go, okay, well, I'm not going to go out and climb around on the roof early. I'm going to save my physical energy for this afternoon. And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to get in front of the computer and I'm going to grind on office work and admin work and development work and that stuff, because it takes the same amount of, I'm burning the same amount of calories. So what Mike's suggesting is that I modulate everything in the morning to save some of that energy for when I do hit the wall. It's not a wall, right? It's more of a, it's a bump, it's a hurdle, it's a sawhorse, not a wall, that I can get over and keep moving in that direction, to where instead of burning at 6 hours or 7 hours, I'm able to continue functioning for 10, 12 hours. And in this current space, that's what I'm doing. I want to be really clear about that. I want to be able to still be well functioned at 12 hours and still have a couple, 3, 4 hours of rest and reset built into that to be able to do it. So I think it's great advice to just modulate the output that I'm accustomed to doing. I think it's a good way.
Thank you. And you're going to need, see, so for the context of this conversation, you need, with what you're doing, has a real timeline, because you are really working against conditions. You can't let this thing play out, otherwise you'll be back into weather again, and it's just not acceptable down the road. You know, it's, you need 2 mornings a day. In other words, you need 2 to 3 pockets of that max productivity. So
that's a great way to look at it. Like, back that one up and tell everybody that again. You need 2 mornings a day.
You do. You need 2 mornings a day. Not, and I don't care who you are, and I know all these gurus out there, and they say, I do, I can do that. I've done it. I know how to do it. I can cultivate that through this mental training. You can rev up and ramp up. Now, it's not sustainable every single day for the rest of your life. It's just not. But I don't know. It was for me for 20 years, but whatever. You can do it. And you can find that extra gear of clarity when you use that visualization technique I talked about. When you understand that there's a roadmap and you're strategically saving some of that energy for a later in the day, where you realize you might even get a second spike that was better than your first spike, right? So here, let's play into calories, right? Let's do, you know, gram to a gram and a half per pound per body weight of protein a day, right? Oh, I don't know what that means. It's very hard to do. It is hard to do. So is building a house by yourself. But when you're trying to stave off the soreness, you know, these supplementation processes for a short term, unless you're, you know, bodybuilding and stuff, for a short term, they really work, right? Because remember, you've got that visualization of completing this house in a certain amount of time. And you've got equipment. I don't know if you own the equipment, you're renting the equipment. There's certain things in building that have to be done in certain times. You can't always do low energy tasks later in the day. Okay, you can only do so much sweeping, right? That's, you know, you can do some painting and stuff like that, but you're not even there yet, right? So it's important for people that are undergoing these massive projects that understand crash happens. Just don't let it happen to you to the point where you're losing yourself emotionally. If you understand what's happening, right, and you can cultivate the feeling of crash, the feeling of depletion, the feeling of, man, I just can't do this anymore. My body hurts, my mind hurts, my brain hurts. When you know that's going to happen, it's amazing how it doesn't happen to affect you. It just happens to you. And you can get through, because planned, listen to me, plan, not you, everybody. Plan activity, plan, and a framework of taking counteractions over hydration, over nutrition, clean nutrition. Understanding you're going to have lack of sleep. Understanding you're going to be moody. Understanding you're going to be sore. There might be a random Wednesday where you're just not going to do anything for till 12 o'clock. It's okay. When you're under the gun, it's okay, and then you'd be surprised, all of a sudden it kicks in, that little bit of rest, now you've gotten 4 or 5 more days of up-level productivity. Everyone's different, every human being's nervous system is different, but when you realize these things are going to happen, and you start adjusting your expectations, the world opens up. The world really opens up. It's when you still have a 9-to-5 framework in your head and you're like, oh, I got to be massively productive early in the day and then chill out later in the day. That's bullshit when you're actually trying to get something done. Really, like you are. I don't mean bullshit bad. Once this is over with, then the framework resets itself.
Yeah, and I think that's totally fair. And I think I agree with you. I think that is a very conventional mindset relative to the 9-to-5 space. And I think that's where a lot of entrepreneurs probably have an advantage over those that are in that very conventional lifestyle of I work 9 to 5, right? You're getting, because a lot of people will, you know, I coach on this all the time about do the most difficult task first thing in the morning, because that's when you're going to have the most willpower to get it done, in order to get that thing done. And there's a little bit of counterintuitive to this. So difficult may not necessarily be the most physically tasking thing, but back to sales calls, it may be, you know, the most difficult thing to do is pick up the phone. It gets heavier as the day goes on. But that's because you might push that off, but you're still doing this huge front load of heavy work versus going, okay, if I know I have to make phone calls at 1 o'clock, because that's when people are there and they're going to answer the phone, and that's the best time of day for me to do that, I need to switch my tasks around, and I need to do, I don't want to say easy, I want to maybe say simple, right? I want to do tasks that are still meaningful, that are still, you know, obviously I can't pick up a broom at 8 o'clock in the morning and start sweeping up because I haven't made a mess yet for today, right? That doesn't work. But you may have to realign your tasks in such a way to realign your perfect day that fits with whatever you're doing, if you're in sales. And I'm using that example very, very specifically. So as Mike's talking, I'm sitting here thinking about, all right, so looking at today, with the things that are on my plate today, in order for me, because really what I need to do is I need to save my legs. That's the answer right now, is I need to save my legs for 2 o'clock this afternoon. The wind is supposed to lay down. I've got 15 sheets of steel I need to put on a roof. That have to get done. And I can't do that when it's blowing super hard. You can't handle a 24-foot sheet of steel in the wind. Somebody's getting killed. So I need to save my legs for that. So I should not be climbing ladders this morning. I should be saving my legs. I should be doing groundwork, eye-level stuff. I got to figure out what that's going to look like. I'm not exactly sure yet. But that's what I need to do just to accomplish today. That's fine. And that's the, okay, great. I got a morning. I can get through a few pieces and parts of things that I need to get done. I don't know what that is yet. I'm still thinking about it because I don't know. Otherwise, I would have been climbing ladders, plain and simple. So I got to figure out what that is to get it done. So back to Mike's earlier, where he's talking about, you've got to have two mornings. So I need to develop my day into, I need 2 days. So today is probably, knowing what we're talking about, I need to spend some time doing some extra social media work, some extra video work, some extra things that are going to be not physically tasking. And that way I can save the physical component for this afternoon when I'm going to need it.
Well, it's also, when else are you going to need your legs, right? Tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, right? I mean, you can get as crazy as you want with this idea. But the idea is really having that non-perfect world environment like you're in right now. Remember, if we want to back up the conversation, this is a strategic idea for a almost insurmountable task to build a house by yourself. It's not insurmountable because you're doing it. And you're racing against early spring weather. Just for those of you that are listening, remove the components of the construction and this and that, and insert your own components to the story so that you can kind of follow along in your own right. If you're not already doing that, please do that. Please insert your hurdles into this conversation so that you understand sometimes it's insurmountable. Sometimes my hurdles are, all right, I have to clients, record, plan, do a little social media, do a little sales calls, phone work, and then from 3 p.m. Eastern time on, it's run this kid to practice, train this kid, hit grounders to this kid, do this, do that, fix this clog, do this thing, and then figure out dinner, bed, and then get everybody going the next day, and get everything going the next day, and get everything, like, there's insert here, remove there, and avoid burnout. Not everything's work as hard as you can, take vacations, take micro vacations, come back, work as hard as, That's not really how everything works all the time. That's somebody else's notion. You've got to customize your experience in this world.
It's a societal notion. I wouldn't even say it's somebody else. It's a societal notion that we have decided is the way things work.
And in a lot of cases they do, but not when you really start studying some of these guys like Bezos and even when Trump was doing his real estate deals and stuff like that before Trump became president. You got these people that are doing extraordinary things. They have two mornings a day, sometimes three. And that's Elon Musk, right? As crazy as he may be, or whoever thinks he's crazy. I'm not saying he's crazy, but he's got four mornings a day. The guy's doing space and electric and all this other stuff and trading. And, it's non-conventional thinking that gets you to that extra gear. You have anything else to add, Jake, in our 8 seconds left here in this episode?
No, man, that's great stuff for today. I hope the audience can take something from this particular story about having two mornings a day. Go get it.
All right. My name is Mike Liberci for Dr. Jake Glendening. It's your turn to disrupt.